Dave Moore on Today FM.
They're in here. They're breaking microphones. They're picking up headphones they don't need. They're starting to cause havoc. I just walked in the door. Caroline Menton and Jay Duffy.
Hey, Dave.
Welcome in, you legends.
Thank you for having us.
Good to see you.
Thanks for coming in. Before we break any more equipment, before we talk about the Walsh business, I want to ask a really important question, which is Shannon here, right, is going to Ariana Grande with someone she's never met before.
Oh, wow.
And we're just kind of talking about that this morning and going like, would you... No, sorry, she has references. The person is her boss's niece. Like, it's not a complete stranger.
Okay. Yeah.
But if you had that, like...
I thought it was a blind date or something.
Right. No. I was like, that's brave.
Yeah, off to London, to Wembley, to see Ariana Grande. But I'm just thinking, like, would you do that? Because we're talking about that this morning. Like, Cahill, who's on the show, he's just like, he thinks it's so weird. I'm thinking, it's fine.
I think it's fine. Also, you've got all the stimulation of the show and the music.
And so the travel and everything.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
They're traveling together as well.
But it's
actually,
family,
are you sharing
right?
a hotel room?
Yeah.
No, it's not her family.
Oh, it's not your
family. Her bosses. Like, so Maria, who's our producer, is not here today.
Okay.
It's her niece. They're both Ariana Grande fans, but neither of their partners are big Ariana Grande fans. Lauren got tickets, Shannon didn't get tickets, and Lauren went, I'll go with Shannon. And they're like, yeah.
Also, why should either of you be deprived?
Exactly. You know? And dragging along someone who only half wants to be there?
Nah. No.
Okay, there you go. Two more votes for confidence for Shannon.
I think that could be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I think it could.
Listen, you boys and girls are in to talk about this incredible show called The Walsh Sisters. Now, I've been lucky enough to see one episode only. We're a no-spoiler show. On everything we do, we're a no-spoiler show.
You've invited the two worst people on to talk about it.
So let's not spoil anything. Let's instead give people a sense of what this show is about. So, Caroline, we'll go to you because Rachel, your character, she sits there in the middle of this family.
Yeah.
And that's what we're exploring, isn't it? It's the dynamic of this family of sisters.
Yeah. So it's about the Walsh family and it's an adaptation of Marion Keyes' books. Mm. And it's mainly focused on Rachel's holiday and Is There Anybody Out There? But ours is a contemporized adaptation.
So it's now.
It's modern day. And like you said, I'm playing Rachel and she's one of the very vibrant Walsh sisters and she's bang in the middle. And Rachel finds herself struggling with addiction.
Yeah, she's chaotic.
She's a bit chaotic, to say the least. But we deal with addiction, but hopefully in a very sensitive, compassionate, nuanced way.
As I said, based on episode one, like what I've found going through it was how quickly I got invested in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's an early interaction between both of you and one of your sisters, Anna. And straight away, I was like, just immediately drawn to all three of you and the dynamic and going like, this is incredible. Like, I need to know. We're 4 minutes into the show and I need to know more about the three of you. Like, immediately. It was great.
Right. But that's a testament to Stephanie Prysner.
So, yeah, this is interesting. So, Stephanie Prysner, people will know, she's worked on Today FM. She does lots of stuff with Matt Cooper. She's an author. She's a journalist. She's all these things. She adapted this from Marion Keyes' books and also stars as one of the sisters.
Yeah.
What an absolute boss.
She's been working on this for 7 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been a passion project of hers for all this time. And yeah, she's just done an amazing job.
Okay.
She really has. The pilot episode of anything, to introduce so many characters.
So many.
Each sister has her own arc.
Yeah.
To hook people in and adapt from Marion's books, like there's serious pressure, and I think she's killed
it.
Well, I will say genuinely, if you think about it, you have the five sisters, you've got partners, Jay, you qualify in that category.
That's me.
You've got work colleagues, you've got parents, you've got kids. Like
there's a lot
you've got
going
a
on.
A divorced husband somewhere. Like there's a lot going on, but I didn't find myself at any point going, oh, this feels like they're trying to tell me who everyone is. Because sometimes you can get that in the pilot. It didn't feel like that at all.
No.
Like,
yeah, but again, it's like just Stephanie's so talented and she's weaved all of their stories together in such a subtle, nuanced way. And like the episode one sets up everyone so well. And also the way that she's written the sisters, they're obviously sisters and related, but they're so individual and so different.
Totally.
They complement each other so well.
And then all I will say is episode one ends on such an unbelievable cliffhanger. Because I thought it was going one way with the cliffhanger. I was going, this is going to be a good ending.
Mm-hmm.
And then something else completely happens and you're like, oh my God! Yeah. Are you serious? And I knew that when I finished that episode, I wasn't going to be able to watch it next week. I have to wait ages until I
keep
see
you on
episode
your toes.
Two. It comes out this Sunday, the 28th of September. And honestly, lads, you have to watch this to see what the cliffhanger is. I can't say anything about it. But
also, sorry, just
go on.
To interrupt,
no, don't apologize.
Stephanie will kill me if I don't mention this. There's also an exclusive podcast for the show, which Marion and Stephanie are hosting. So when you're waiting a week to watch the next episode, you'll
listen
have the podcast.
Come on,
to accompany each episode.
2025 is a great place to be, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Tell you what,
I think of everything.
What a time.
When would you get it? The other thing is Danielle Galligan, who's an unbelievable actor.
Oh, she's amazing.
She was in with me only the other day because of House of Guinness.
Yeah.
And I was telling her that you guys were coming in, and she was like, oh, I gotta tell them. I said, oh, whatever. But like, because it's been months, obviously, since you guys shot this. I don't know, you're hardly like hanging out week after week. I don't know, maybe you're like Shannon, just friends with everybody.
But like, oh, Shannon.
But isn't there such a rich kind of seam of Irish acting right now? Everyone from, let's go from the older end of things, when you have Daniel Day-Lewis coming back doing things, you have Liam Neeson, you have all these actors. And then you work your way down through, and obviously House of Guinness is full of them. Dervla Kerwin was in. You're right down. But then you've got you guys. You've got young guys. You've got Leisha Weir as a teenager. And like, we've always produced actors, but right now it seems like there's something really special happening with Irish acting. It's a good place to be.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a great buzz, man. I think there's a real appetite for Irish stories and Irish actors right now. So hopefully we're in this industry at a good time.
Yeah.
Seems like, well, Stephen Knight, the man who created Peaky Blinders on House of Guinness, was in, and I asked him about that because he's often worked with Killian and he's worked with Barry Keoghan and he's working with lots of people, and he said it's the Irish vocabulary. It's really easy to write to make Irish people sound cool. And I was like, that's great.
Interesting.
That's what you want to hear.
We had our premiere for the show last Wednesday and my agent came over to see it, and we had a little bit of a gap from doing press, so I said, let's go and have a proper pint of Guinness.
Okay.
Because Lee is English, you know, she lives in London. So let's go and have a proper pint of Guinness. We went to, I brought it to the Palace Bar.
Quality
and,
choice.
And we had our pint of Guinness, we were sitting outside, it was lovely. And I looked across and I was like, is that Stephen Knight? I think that's Stephen Knight. He was sitting beside us.
No way!
He also knows where to go for a good pint of Guinness in Dublin, so there you go.
And did you break the ice and introduce yourself for Peaky Blinders, the movie?
I was too shy.
He's writing the new Bond. Just saying, Jay. Just saying, Jay. Just saying. But I've got lots of questions. For the two of you as actors, you're playing a couple.
Yeah.
Are you a couple? I mean, you can tell me if you're not. I mean, like, you know, but like, it's not an easy thing to do necessarily. There needs to be not just good actors in the room, but you guys need to be believable as a couple as well. And by the way, you are. Congratulations.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, but Luke and Rachel, like, it's an intense relationship. I've only seen one episode, but it's a breaking point in places. Like, there's a lot going on. Yeah. How is that experience for you guys when, you know, you'll always, I suppose, have interrelationships when you're on a set because, you know, you'll be playing a character that's related to whatever other character in whatever way. But when you're a couple like that, is it different than if you're walking into play to talk to your mam or the shopkeeper or, you know what I mean? Like, there's more at stake, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think we were just speaking off air for the listeners about the chemistry test that we had.
Yeah.
And those things are, for those that don't know, it's like the final stage of an audition when you're trying to find someone's love interest. You'll do a chemistry test, which is like the final audition. And you go into those things, and in my case, I walked in, I met Caroline for the first time, and you exchange pleasantries, and then all of a sudden, camera gets pulled out, and like, okay, now we need to believe you two as a couple, and you have chemistry, and it's a very intimidating process to try and achieve that. But I will say, even though she's sitting beside me, she's allergic to compliments, but she she absolutely just put me at ease. Caroline has this ability, and I only got to really see it while we were shooting, but once the cameras start rolling, she just has this switch, and she just is Rachel Walsh, and I can't imagine anyone else playing Rachel except her. It was the easiest chemistry test I've ever done, and that's a testament to her.
Well, right back at you, Jay. Right back at you. No, I couldn't imagine anyone else playing Luke Costello.
A lot of Marion Keyes fans probably could.
I highly doubt it. But also, I think, like, So after, you know, we found out Jay was cast and you found out whatever, we met up and we spoke about their relationship and, like, and we made, like, a lot of decisions together, because sometimes you rock up to a job and you've made all these decisions about the character and their how they relate to the other characters, and you're just hoping it will land.
Hoping it will land, yeah. But you guys actually spent the time and had the conversation.
Yeah, because I think, like, obviously there is, like, a lot of love there, and so there's a lot of history and depth there. And then we also, so, like, every actor has their own process, but I love using music, and
right.
Jay happens to love using music as well. So we
where did you possibly get that from,
together.
I wonder, you know?
I know.
It's really odd. Bonkers.
So you made it. So was it a couples? Was it?
We made
it. Yeah. Was it Caroline and Jay's playlist, or was it like Rachel and Luke's playlist?
It was Luke and Rachel.
Luke and Rachel. Well,
okay,
it's called L and R, isn't it? That's the name.
Brilliant. So just kind of songs you thought would represent them and where you guys were as a relationship. And okay,
yeah.
Amazing.
There was a really nice day filming, and it's in episode 6. And myself and Jay were shooting a scene, and we actually used one of the songs just to get into a certain particular headspace. And Ian was our brilliant director. He was great. He was like, just keep playing the song. Keep playing the song.
Okay.
And then literally he would say, pause that song. Okay, we're going to start filming. Yeah. And we would just jump straight in. It was just like a really
special... So it just sets that mood or something.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Love it. Jay, Hollyoaks. It's 30 years old. Did you know that?
Hollyoaks is 30 years... Wow.
This week, okay. I think,
no
it's celebrating
way.
30 years old.
I'm 30
old.
Next year, man.
There you go. So you're younger than Hollyoaks.
Yeah.
How was your experience doing that? Like, we're all very excited when Jay shows up as Declan at Hollyoaks. Why are you laughing? This is incredible.
It feels like a different time. And
yeah, but it was.
Yeah,
but
yeah. It was. What was I, 15 or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Oh man, it was so much fun.
It was a good start.
It was so much.
Was
it's
that
a great
your first
start.
Gig?
It was my first gig, and people may not realize, like, in the soap world, you turn over a lot of material really quickly.
I was talking to Phil Daniels yesterday, who was Kevin in EastEnders, obviously also
sure.
was in Quadrophenia and was like the guy who sang Park Life from Blur and all that. But he was saying the same thing. He was saying it for 2 years in EastEnders. He's like, I can't put out this much work. It's
just crazy.
You're
hard. Learning lines on your lunch break. Like it's nonstop, and. I was working with Emmett Scanlon, who was my father. Emmett's obviously doing amazing things now, but he was like he is now back then. You know, he's really intense and a great actor. And yeah, I was 15, getting time off from school, working with nice looking girls. I was having a great
Taking
time.
Taking a load of boxes here in this
I was having a great time.
And didn't you go on tour with Boyzone as well? Like, as in you were dragged along by your outfit.
Was.
Like, what another experience.
Yeah, I was. The most kind of vivid memories I have is from probably 2008 reunion when they got back together.
That time, yeah.
Yeah, because I was old enough then to kind of appreciate it a bit. Mm-hmm. I think for the early days, I was still in a nappy.
Any insight into a new reunion?
I'm hearing whispers of something.
Caroline.
Yeah.
He's got to be telling you things.
I have no intel.
No. I haven't told you anything, have I?
No.
I actually haven't.
Caroline, I'm a huge boy band.
Caroline hasn't asked, I should say.
No, this is my question,
that's
though, right?
That's so not it. I just don't want to be seen like I'm trying to get the
team. Oh, yeah, and then sell it.
I'm
sell
hoping
it to the newspapers.
He'll just kind of like, I'll just kind of draw it out in a really, like,
well,
organic
listen,
way.
I'm a huge boy band fan, right?
Okay,
like, so
yeah.
I love two things. I love death metal and boy bands. They're the two things that I love more than anything in the world, right? So if you were looking for a reunion for a boy band,
yeah,
is there one from your, like, life that you would love to see getting back together?
There's only one correct answer here, Carla.
But no, let's just take Boyzone as red, okay? Take that as red. So you're not offending anybody. Other than Boyzone.
Other than Boyzone. I don't really think there's another option, to be honest.
Well, like, for example, my 27th birthday present from my wife was that we went to see NSYNC in Anaheim, in California. It's the greatest day of my life. The greatest.
And is that the Justin Timberlake band?
Yeah, but before
no
Justin
way.
Timberlake was Justin Timberlake. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
he was just Justin
in NSYNC. And it was like, it was so amazing. But, like, that's who I want to see if I get back together. Is there no band from your childhood you're thinking of?
Do you know what? I wasn't really apart from Boyzone, obviously.
Of
I wasn't
course.
Really
Caroline's well trained.
I wasn't boy band crazed.
That's fair enough.
A teenager.
Yeah. Okay. What did you like? What music did you like?
Like I went through Beyonce phase, Girls Aloud phase. Oh God, what's her name? The song's called There's Just One Thing, and me and my sister obsessively used to
Anne-Marie, One Thing. Is it?
I think so.
I know that song.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
very good. Amazing. Maybe that'll go on the playlist. Who knows? Listen, Jay, congratulations on this. This is brilliant.
Karen, thank you, Dave.
Unbelievable workout of both of you. Seriously, it's amazing. The Walsh Sisters, Sunday, it's going to be on RT1. Make sure you check it out. It's fantastic. Accompanying podcast as well, so you can never say you're not getting enough. Thanks, Minion, for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us, Dave.
All right,
good to see you, man.
Thanks, lads.
Dave Moore on Today FM.